Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Dr. Don Kettle, author of the IBM Center Report, Managing Risk, Improving Results, Lessons for Improving Government Management from GAO's High Risk List. Also joining us from IBM is Lisa Bascolo. Your analysis, Don, revealed the 8 most important root cause problems. How did you go about identifying these root causes? And would you elaborate, and this is the most important part of the question, would you elaborate on each of these causes?
Sure. Let me tick through those. But before doing that, just a note, because some people may wonder how it is that I came to this list to begin with. And what I did is I read the reports. And I read the high-risk report itself, which, as I said, is about 400 pages worth of either mind-numbing or absolutely fascinating. And count me in the fascinating category of looking at this, because it really provides a deep dive into government's most important and most difficult challenges. And then I began looking for common pieces. And I had a sneaking suspicion that people and technology and finances and contract management were likely to be at the core. But I started trying to look for common themes that started to surface. So this was the things that I found as I started reading not only the big high-risk report, but also the background reports that GAO has published on each of these areas. And it's one of these things, if you were to try to pull together all of GAO's printed reports on all these things, it was stretched from the floor to the ceiling and then some. There's a lot of stuff here. But as you look at it, there are 8 things really that are at the core. And the first is this inability to span boundaries. Most of the problems that government faces have to do with managing across boundaries, not so much managing programs themselves, but managing the connections between programs. And that turns out to be the case in 25 out of the 32 different areas in the high-risk list. 25 out of the 32 are really boundary management problems, which is perhaps surprising to a lot of people that there is that much commonality and that the commonality has to do with this reaching across boundaries piece. The second is the problem of developing performance metrics, and the government's made a fair amount of progress on this, but still a long way to go. Third is the fact that some of the information systems that government relies on are aging and inadequate, need to be replaced. Some of it's just a hardware acquisition problem. Some of it, frankly, is a matter that Congress needs to act on. In some cases, in the case of weather satellites, Congress simply needs to appropriate more money in advance to be able to build the satellites and put them in orbit before we discover in the middle of a hurricane that we need them. A little hard if you can't go down to your friendly satellite store if a hurricane's approaching and loft one into orbit fast enough to get your pictures. So some of this requires congressional action in advance. Part of it's the problem of skill sets of government employees. Government employees to do their job need the skills that are required for 21st century government, which then gets back to the problem of managing across boundaries, because there's no more important 21st century skill set than that. There's the issue of ineffective financial management controls. You could write a report that goes all the way back to the revolution and pull that one out, but it's always a matter of getting good financial controls in place, and the problems that plague many of these programs are rooted in that. The next issue is ineffective contract management. Not surprisingly, since government relies so much on acquisitions and procurement, often when problems occur and when things go bad, it's because the procurement system somewhere is broken along the line. And then beyond that is just the problem of managing technological complexity. Some of these issues just are hard. Mm-hmm. And they're hard technologically and require not only people with the skills to do it, but also an approach that allows government to be as smart as partners that it's working with, both in other agencies and other levels of government, but especially in the private sector.
Mm-hmm. And you acknowledge that the root causes individually are troublesome. However, you note that many of these root causes, these risk areas, are afflicted by multiple root causes which interact and multiply the challenges. What are the implications of the clusters of root causes, and why are they not so surprising?
And to tackle the last question first, it's probably not so surprising if you start thinking about these issues that I found, that they occur together. Okay. And that it also helps to explain why it's so hard sometimes to solve these issues, because it's not just one issue that we have to solve. If it were easy, we would have done it a long time ago. These things are tough because they're difficult, and they're difficult because they involve multiple pieces. And if you think, for example, simply about the problem of improving Medicare and Medicaid, a lot of that has to do with the fact that There are relatively few people in place who are in charge of doing it. My favorite statistic about the entire federal government is that Medicare and Medicaid combined account for 20% of all federal spending, but 0.2% of all federal employees. Or on average, each employee who works for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is responsible for, on average, over $144 million each when they go to work in the morning. And so you start off with the importance of managing boundaries, since the federal government doesn't deliver Medicare and Medicaid. It pays the people in the private sector who do. So there's a boundary management piece that gets into the contract management issue, because the federal government needs people who are in charge of third-party reimbursement. It gets into the technological complexity and information systems and the performance questions, because you've got to know what it is that you're doing and being able to track it. It gets down to financial management, so that you know whether or not you've got contractors who are paying for wheelchairs that they shouldn't. But not surprisingly, it all goes back to the people issue at the core, because if each employee, when she or he goes to work, is responsible for over $144 million, they better have a good day. We rely incredibly on the skills of individual employees who work for the government to leverage the quality of government services across sectors. So it's not surprising that these problems are hard to solve, that when you don't solve them well, that there's risk involved, that there's a lot of money at play, and that there's no magic bullet. But on the other hand, it does go to show that it's possible at least to do it.
We've talked a little bit about root cause analysis. For the layperson, can you tell us what root cause analysis is and what are the ways in which it might be interpreted?
Sure. And the easiest way to look at it is, if this goes wrong, how bad could it be? And what are the things that, if it goes wrong, are most likely to have the biggest effects? And so if we're interested, for example, in making sure that we collect the revenues that the federal government is owed by private companies who drill on federal lands, that we need to understand, first, there's a lot of money here that's involved, because there are a lot of federal lands from which a lot of federal agencies are responsible for being able to track what's happening. A lot of private companies in charge of paying, in this case in particular, the Bureau of Land Management for the royalties for the oil and gas that's being taken out. You need to be able to track it, and it turns out they didn't have very good systems for doing that. You need to have people who are skilled at being able to make sure that happens. You need information systems. So what happens if that doesn't happen? Well, the federal government loses tens of billions of dollars of revenue. And when revenue's tight, that's not so good. But on the other hand, if you manage to get that right, you can end up not only recapturing the revenue that you need, but paying for the people who are in charge of doing it. And so it's one of those cases where getting it wrong can be very costly. Getting it right requires getting the right people in the right places. So it's a matter of trying to figure out what problem you're trying to solve and what solutions are most likely to work and making sure they match up. So root causes are really just a fancy way of talking about the things you've got to get right if you want to get these problems solved.
So in prior years, GAO removed programs from the list that had demonstrated substantial progress. Starting in 2015, it made the criteria for removal from the list explicit. Would you tell us more about the GAO criteria for removal from the high-risk list, and what are the benefits of making these criteria explicit?
Now, once upon a time, agencies used to complain that they were on the list, and they sort of got why. They weren't sure what they needed to get off, and they weren't sure how close to the finish line that they were. And GAO stepped back and said, well, you know, to tell you the truth, we've been doing this for a while, but you've got a point that it is kind of hard to tell how much progress you're making. And if you've read GAO reports, they've got to be very careful about what they say, but it's the standard GAO report says progress is made, but substantial challenges remain. And so most GAO reports have that kind of thing. Well, if you're in the agency, well, thank you, but exactly what are those challenges, and are we close? And so what GAO has tried to do is to say, yes, there are ways that we're going to be able to measure this. And so they've got a new system that has a series of metrics that focus on, for example, how much managerial improvement and focus is there? Do top leaders care about this? Is there a plan for being able to accomplish the success that the agencies need? Are there metrics for being able to track that, or required resources available? Is there a way to be able to understand what the finish line looks like from the agency's point of view? And so GAO has looked at these things in particular, and in case by case by case has assessed how good of a job agencies are doing. It's a little bit of a difficult challenge here for GAO because GAO is in the analysis and the evaluation business and not in the management consulting business. So it doesn't want to prescribe to agencies exactly what to do. And on top of that, it wants to be careful not only to keep an arm's length kind of relationship, but it also, in a lot of these cases, doesn't want to presume that it knows more than the agencies do, but wants to at least track the fact that agencies are making progress. And lo and behold, in this report, there are a lot of agencies that are. There are some agencies that have made it off the list, and over the course of the 25 years, actually 23 programs have been removed from the list. And so it's not like Hotel California where you check in and you can never check out. There is progress being made, but even on the agencies that are on the list, there still is progress being made, which itself is very important. And so that's why, in lots of ways, I think this is a glasses half full kind of story, because it's a story that agencies can make progress. And in making progress, GAO can recognize that, take them off the list, but in a sense applaud them for making the kind of progress that many of us, sometimes cynically, can't imagine ever happening.
The report also outlines root solutions for the government's high-risk problems. Would you elaborate on each of these root solutions, and how can following them better position agencies to get off the list?
That's an important finding. First, that you can get off. Secondly, that it's not like you have to do everything in the universe to get off, but there is a relatively small handful of things that you do. That if you do it, you can get off the list. But maybe even more importantly, it's worth thinking about this list as a general kind of guidance for all federal agencies who want to stay off the list and to try to improve the management of government more generally. And some of it has to do with improving the information systems. It has to do with strengthening management control, improving contract management, getting congressional action when it's needed, because sometimes Congress has to act either by granting more authority or in some cases by providing more money. It means creating a human capital system. And by that, I mean quite simply figuring out what skills you need to get the job done and going on hiring those people and making sure that they're there. It means improving the boundary management, because so much of what happens occurs across the boundaries between agencies with their partners. It means improving performance metrics, and it means bringing in next-generation technology to strengthen management overall. So in many ways, it's pretty close to a mirror of what it is that gets you off on the list to begin with. You can get off the list by solving the problems that got there to begin with. But instead of thinking about this as we've got so many problems, it turns out that we also have so many solutions. And putting them together turns out to be the chart to the road to get off the risk, the high-risk list, and to stay off of it on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So, Don, you mentioned this a little bit earlier. You know, since its inception in 1990, GAO has added almost doubled the number of areas that have been identified as high-risk. And you kind of alluded to the fact that does that really mean that the federal government's problems are doubled in the period? But it's probably more related to how GAO's employed different strategies and taken performance and management more seriously. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting, and this says something both about GAO and about the broader question about looking at government's performance. GAO over time has moved away from auditing individual programs with a focus on financial accounting to a look at assessing the performance of individual agencies and programs to identify problems, to now a new phase in its life where it's looking at the broader issues of risk management inside government. And risk management itself is one of those things that, well, that sounds boring, doesn't it? Except that it turns out to be absolutely critical to try to figure out where it is that if the government doesn't perform well, all of us will really notice. I mean, it's very bad if you have a major hurricane and you've got an agency that's not up to the job of being able to rescue people. It's very bad if you have a financial crisis and it turns out you have a set of regulatory agencies not up to the job of overseeing the financial situation and status of the country. It's very bad if you depend on weather satellites and the satellites are not there. And it's very bad if you want to collect taxes and you have a hard time being able to collect the taxes that are due. So you can look at those things, and that's what risk management means. And what GAO has been spending much more time on is to look at the broader questions of things that if they go wrong, we will notice and it will be bad. And the broader questions about what we can try to do to solve those problems. And with any kind of luck, what I suspect the GAO is moving toward next is trying to figure out in advance how to create a government that itself has more capacity from being able to do better for us and to stay out of these problems to begin with. And where I really see all this going, and it's why it's so, I think, incredibly important, is that this really creates a model for what it is that a well-managed government in the 21st century really needs to look at.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with your work, when you compare the early high-risk areas with the newer ones, what insights can be gleaned from making such a comparison?
What's really emerging, I think, is a portrait of the way in which government itself has changed over time. The early list had things like NASA contract management, and NASA's had struggles with contract management for as long as there's been a NASA, since 90% of NASA's budget is actually spent through contractors. So it goes without saying that if you don't get that right, that you're going to have problems, and many of its most serious problems in the past have been completely on that. So some of these issues are long-lasting. But what's happened over time is that GAO has begun to see patterns that begin to recur. If it turns out that Agency X has a problem in managing its budget and its financial management system, and Agency Y has the same problem, maybe if we spent more attention on those issues on a government-wide basis, we'd be able to solve those problems and to deal with our bigger issues. So what's really happened over time is, I think, a broader view about the fundamental challenges about what government is and how it works and what it's going to take to make it work better. And that, I think, is one of the biggest issues that we have, because to go back to just the beginning of our conversation, to imagine that we can solve any problem by managing an agency, by sitting at the top and giving orders and trying to write regulations and hope the people at the bottom pay attention, that's just to miss the way in which government operates. Because so much of government operates in very complex partnerships, especially at the federal level. And if you don't manage those partnerships well, then bad things happen. And we don't want those bad things to happen. That's why so often the focus that we have in both in newspapers but also in just our ordinary discussions misses the mark, because we talk about programs that fail or agencies that screw up. And almost always when those things happen, they're broader systemic issues that are at the core, because things have just gotten so complex. And we're not going to solve those problems unless we develop systems that are capable of managing that complexity.
How can agencies get off the high-risk list? We'll explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors returns.